This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you, too, sir. And Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year to you, man. Golly, it's that time already.
It is that time.
2018 just flew by.
It really did.
Golly, it's incredible.
Well, of course, we do have coming up here next week is actually our big best of 2018.
Yes.
As we start off the new year, we look back on the old and take a look back at who was the best tin tobacco, who was the best tobacconist, who was, what was the best tamp, if I'm not mistaken, is also on there as
well. Yeah, we put all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah. So if you head over to CountrySquireRadio.com and click best of 2018, you can get your votes in now, and you got to get them in now because the closing of the voting is coming to a close here in the insanely near future. I just look down at my wrist, which does not have a watch on it, as just to emphasize the fact.
I noticed it. I wasn't going to say anything, but it's your own insanity, so you have to deal with it.
Well, join us in our insanity as we celebrate the year that was 2018.
Yeah, it's
next
gonna be fun.
Week. We will be doing that, of course, live at CountrySquireRadio.com at noon. Can't wait to do it. And we're going to talk about this more next week. But I'm I already kind of put it out on Twitter, so I'm just going to mention it here. 2019, we got some fun stuff coming. We've got some fun stuff coming. We have got, I'm going to say it. We got brand new Country Squire Radio apparel. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a blast.
It's about time.
Dude, we got two new shirts, two new designs. I put them out on Twitter a couple days ago. I should have asked you first, but I wanted to see what the reaction was.
No, that's good. That's good.
And we'll talk about more about that next week, but head over to Twitter and you can kind of see the images. The funny thing is we've got one dedicated to the Squire Scallywags kind of inspired a pirate-themed Country Squire Radio shirt. And that has been the one that everybody's like, oh my gosh, I don't even play that game, but I'm in.
But I gotta have it.
I gotta have
it. It's a hot shirt.
Yeah.
It's hot.
We've been on t-shirts before. We're taking it up a notch.
Yeah, I agree.
We're kicking it up a notch. Patches, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Country Squire Radio patches.
And the patches. It's about time, right?
It is.
We had to join the revolution.
It's a whole new world. And you can
plug the hole in your jeans with our patch.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. So more information on that in the coming weeks, but I wanted to go ahead and tee that up as we are excited to ring in the new year. And of course, like I said, next week celebrate the year that was 2018. But with the new year, man, it is a time for resolutions. And what better way to celebrate New Year's resolutions than take a look at a pipe pastime for many going decades and generations past, but finding kind of a new resurgent. Of course, I'm talking about lunting. Now, lunting is a subject that has come up a couple of times. It's something that we have talked lightly about. It's one of those things whenever you say the word, it raises an eyebrow. And I'm like, what is that word? You almost constantly have to remind me because it's such a kind of seems like such a bizarre term. And you know what? It's one of these things that it's something that requires, nay, demands a subject matter expert come on and actually share with us the world of lunting. And that's exactly what we have. Joining us on the show here in just a moment, I had a chance to talk with Scott Beidler of the Lunting Society, International Pipe Smoking, or rather Lunting Society, to educate us on what is lunting. And so I think you're going to really enjoy it.
I'm excited.
And man, you know what? Before we actually jump to Scott, I got to make mention of this as well, because this episode probably would not have happened if not for listener Jim Nelson, who is such a big fan of lunting. He actually sent a laundry list of reasons why lunting must be a topic on Country Squire Radio.
Well, its own episode.
Yeah. Absolutely. I got a chance to even talk with him a little bit and kind of discuss it. I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to do a deep dive here. And so,
it happened at the perfect time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So thank you again to Jim Nelson for suggesting this and really campaigning for this episode. And man, let's kick it to me and Scott and talk about lunting. Joining us on the line right now, ladies and gentlemen, Scott. I almost want to intentionally butcher your last name. Scott Beidler.
That is correct. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Bo.
Hey, Scott. Of course, Scott is a founding member of the Lunting Society. Now, lunting, what an interesting term. But first, before we dive into that, let's dive into Scott a little bit. So where are you based out of, Scott?
I'm actually right outside of Greenville, South Carolina.
All right, and
called Lyman.
Have you been there? Lifer there, or how long you been there?
Been about, let's see, we lived in Charleston, South Carolina. I've been in South Carolina for about 25 years.
Oh, right on. Okay, gotcha. And how did you get into pipe smoking?
Oh boy, let's see. Just like almost everybody, my grandfather smoked, and we came across his pipes as we were kids, and would play with them, like pretend we were Popeye or something, and always loved the smell. And then in college, my wife actually got me a pipe from, believe it or not, L.L. Bean. So I got some tobacco. Yep, and a pipe. And they no longer sell them, but they had them then.
And that was circa what year?
That was mid '80s, 19. I was in college, so 85.
Gotcha. So you've been at this for some time.
Yeah, did it for a while, then kind of got into cigars for a period, and then probably the 90s, and then back into pipe, late 90s, and been in pipe ever since.
Gotcha. Well, good stuff. You know, so I'm kind of curious, so what was that beginning pipe smoking experience like? You know, one of the things that we hear some great stories of people kind of starting that journey, and we hear some horror stories of people starting that journey. Obviously, your gift was coming from a very loving place, but how did you figure out the mechanics? How'd you really get started?
Well, when I started, there was no internet, so I didn't have the advantage of going on YouTube and watching other people pack a pipe, and I didn't have a pipe store nearby. So it was, you know, light it up, burn the heck out of my tongue. And as many people have shared before previously, it smelled so much better than it actually was, because I was starting with aromatics, and it was not the best experience, but I really wanted to do it. So I stuck with it.
That's good. You know, I almost like the idea of that era of being kind of, you know, where there wasn't, you know, In many respects, it's kind of the dark ages of pipe smoking, right? Because it was not as in vogue, and so you didn't have the pipe shops as readily available, but you also didn't have the information age of the internet as kind of the support system. So I almost kind of envision like these Yodas out there, you know, smoking their pipe, waiting for all of these new up and coming pipe smokers to like find them in the wilderness and learn the ancient ways, so to speak.
Yeah, it was a little bit that way because, like I said, there wasn't a store, there wasn't an immediate circle of friends or anyone you could ask questions from. And when you did go in the store, they were all already switching to cigars, and there wasn't that many people that were willing to talk to you. If you said pipe, they basically pointed to the counter where there was some limited supply, and you were on your own.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, so when are in your area now, is there a pretty strong local pipe shop or cigar shop, or where is the community at the moment?
Yeah, actually, South Carolina being kind of the tobacco belt, I'm pretty fortunate. We have a great store that also sponsors our local pipe club called Boda Pipes and Cigars, and they're pretty pipe heavy. And very supportive. And then we have another one even closer to my house called Cameroons, and they have a nice lounge. And although they're a little more cigar heavy, they're very pipe friendly as well. So yeah, I'm fortunate that way. When I hear other people on your show and elsewhere on forums complaining that there's nothing close and your club is really the only club they have, I feel for them. But yeah, no, I'm pretty fortunate that way.
That's good, man. Yeah, we're big supporters of people getting involved. Like, you know, we're honored to have our Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, but we don't see ourselves as a replacement by any stretch of the imagination. We want people to get connected locally because that's where a lot of those skills and a lot of that community comes from. And that's something that you've really tapped into. So let's talk lunting.
Sure.
All right. What an interesting word. I think when John David first mentioned that word to me, let's be honest, the first like three or four times he mentioned that word to me, I did a double take, thought that we had like, you know, transported into a Dr. Seuss book or something like that. I was like, what is lunting? Where does this word come from?
Yeah, so it's funny because I came across it kind of backhanded. I was in a small group of guys and they were pretty eclectic. You know, pipe smokers, they're an eclectic group to begin with.
Amen to that.
We were talking and somebody shared a term from, I think it was from a Robert Burns poem, and it was lunting, and it was archaic, and he was saying, you know, it meant smoking a pipe and walking around. I said, what a great term, and I looked up, couldn't find it at first, and had to do a deep dive and go further into the internet, and I did finally find there's an old Scottish encyclopedia from 1824 that had a term in it, and that's where I actually got the term and quoted it on the webpage. And then also I found another dictionary, an old English dialect dictionary from 1900s that also mentioned it. But both of them say it's archaic and out of use, and it's obviously, it's not even in Webster's. It's not being used.
That's interesting. So give us the modern definition of lunting.
Yeah, well, straight from that, the modern definition, I would say, is basically the act of walking while smoking a pipe. That's the modern use that I use and translated it to. But it's the archaic term is really, it's the fire trail that follows a person walking. That's the way it was used back in the 1600s when it was first used. And in most of the literature back in the 1800s where it's quoted, that's the use they have. It's that trail of smoke that follows a person walking.
That's right. Just like a dog following.
Correct.
What kind
Did
of dog?
You hear that?
What kind of dog do you have?
I actually have two. They're Australian blue heeler and a border collie, kind of like Babe. And unfortunately, someone must be at the door. I'm sorry.
That's all right, man. The pod pets are a natural occurrence in this line of work, so it's all good. Well, all right. So this is great. The path of fire that follows some. What an amazing there's something very like mystical about that. Almost what's the word I'm looking for? Almost shamanistic in kind of that the visualization that kind of comes along there.
Yeah, it brought to mind for me almost contemplative. You know, you're just walking along, leaving this trail of aromatic smell and smoke in the air behind you. That's what's left behind. And, a lot of the references in the story, that's exactly what it was. Somebody is walking along thinking on life or whatever their situation while plumes of smoke fall behind them. And I don't know, it's a very almost romantic kind of imagery.
Absolutely.
You know?
And so obviously it captured your imagination. And I guess, you know, what was the steps from kind of discovering this word, this definition, this practice, and building an entire community around it?
Well, I had a group of friends, and we would go twice a year camping, hiking, and fly fishing in the mountains here of North Carolina. And we always brought our pipes and would walk along the trails. We're going to wherever we're going to drop our lines in. And then we'd be, you know, fishing and smoking our pipes and dropped a couple into the river. That kind of stunk. So now I'm pretty much a fan, a big time fan of some corn cob pipe to bring with me when I go fishing. And then we would always end up at the campfire. My wife's like, I bet you there's a group of guys that do that. You ought to start seeing if there isn't people that would want to form a club. That's kind of how it started.
Yeah.
And she kept pushing me into it. And finally, I just started asking at my local pipe club, and a few guys would join us. And it turned out there was a lot of interest in it. And probably the funniest thing, Bo, and this is what's happened. When I started, when we put it out there, the first comments I would get from everybody is, you know, I've been hiking and smoking my pipe, but I never knew it was a thing. I didn't know there was other people doing it. I can't tell you how many people have said that.
Wow. Okay. So that's really what I find also very fascinating about this is that it's such a very specific thing. And it's not necessarily you would think of something that is a thing. Does that make sense?
Like, absolutely. Absolutely. So, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I've been a member all my life and didn't know I was a member. That's,
exactly. But, you know, the great you know, thing about it is that in the modern era, lunting is a thing to an extent because not very many people are out and about. You know, they're not necessarily smoking a pipe on their walk to work. They're not necessarily, we live in such kind of self-contained lives and such kind of boxed in lives. People don't know their neighbors' own names. I mean, like, you know, we almost kind of spend so much of our time indoors with the office and otherwise. And we also live in a day and age where a lot of smoking is now done outdoors, but it's not necessarily done outdoors in community as much as it used to be. And so I'm kind of curious, you mentioned you kind of talked to some local folks and to see if, there was any interest here. I mean, was there excitement about this? Was it kind of like, I'll try it, or was it really just, I'm doing that anyway, so let's just do it together?
I think it was a little bit of all of those. And you know, one of the things that really motivated me to give this a shot and to really reach out was, you know, Brian Levine was always saying on his podcast, "Hey, all you pipe smokers, you got to get outdoors and let people see your pipe. You got to let them know, you know, that there's pipe smoking. Do it outside and make it visible." And, I was doing it on my own. I would take my dogs for a walk. That was frequently where I did it outside, is hikes with my dogs. And when we started, people just flocked to it. They're like, you know, I do this by myself. I didn't know there were others. And that was truthfully one of the main things I wanted to accomplish was I was hoping to get a forum where people could put their favorite places to Lunt and post them, and others could join them if they happened to be nearby or coming through to visit. I travel a lot for work, and I'm always looking for other pipe smokers where I go, and it's one of the ways that I get to connect with them.
Now, are y'all mostly doing walking trails, or is this kind of more, you know, urban walking? Like, where is kind of the preferred method, preferred place?
From the post that people put on our Instagram feed, it's all of the above. I've seen guys posting and, you know, walking downtown Paris, somewhere in Moscow. I mean, they're urban, wherever they happen to be living. But I would say probably the majority, it's in the woods. It's a hiking trail or, you know, a little bit more remote than the urban setting. But it is happening in the urban setting, too. Unfortunately, with the current smoking climate, you know, like I went to Boston and visited a great tobacco shop, but you can't smoke in the shop and you can't smoke anywhere near the buildings. It's like 100 feet away. It was hard to find a place where I could walk and smoke.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that you couldn't smoke in a smoke shop in Boston. That's crazy.
Yeah. California is the same way. I mean, Washington's the same way. A lot of the shops, you can't do it inside.
Washington State?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. So I'm, you know, for me, you know, that now, as you start kind of sharing some of those stories, I mean, the imagery comes to mind of literally somebody in front of, you know, the big thing in Paris. Why am I blanking on this?
The Eiffel Tower.
Thank you. Yes. The Eiffel Tower. got to get flack for that.
Yep.
But I could see somebody taking like a selfie with the Eiffel Tower with pipe in hand, you know, hashtag Lunting or something of that nature. Like there is a, it almost in the modern selfie era, and kind of the way that you know, the Instagram especially has been such a platform for kind of pipe smoke, because I can see it kind of growing pretty significantly in that realm.
I think that was something I didn't expect, and that you're absolutely right. That is the majority. The Instagram feed is just full of that. There'll be some national monument, they'll take a picture. A lot of people will go and hike really high mountains and take pictures at the very top of the mountain by some sort of, you know, either a monument or some sort of well-known fixture that they can say, hey, I was there and I smoked my pipe there.
I almost feel like there needs to be, and I could be way off on this, but to me, it seems like there needs to be almost like an experience level achieved before one should begin Lunting. For me, I love the imagery and of course, have enjoyed my pipe several times outside after hiking, but not necessarily during hiking, because it can be such a, you know, well, I mean, it is. It's an involved process, packing your pipe, keeping it lit, you know, tending the flame, fathering the flame, if you will. You know, these are all aspects of what you're doing. It's an art form in and of itself. And so to be able to do that to a certain extent while you're actively mobile seems like it would be a challenge, especially for a new smoker.
I think you guys hit on it when you did your beach episode. It is something you have to kind of think through, because if you do it all while you're walking, it's very difficult, even experience. I don't know about saying it's an art form, but certainly you have to think through. And typically what I do is, you know, I pack, I get all ready, and I will actually either start my hike, stop, and then light my pipe, or light it prior to the start of the hike. It just depends on where I'm at. But once it's lit, once your pipe's going, walking with it, it's really second nature. The things I just am careful with is wind. You certainly in this day and age don't want to start a fire, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really not too tricky once you're going. It's not as hard as a beach. And I do avoid really windy days. It's just difficult outside with wind anyway, whether you're hiking or standing still.
That's good. So, you know, have you noted, I mean, you know, obviously with the kind of the social media aspect, you've been able to see people across the world who are Lunting, but for y'all's local group, what does that consist of? How regularly do y'all meet? And is it something that is strictly local, or can people start chapters in their own local area?
Well, actually, that's been the next thing I'm looking at. We've been approached by quite a few people that would like to start local chapters. And when I originally started this, I hadn't thought that kind of thing through. And so now that is one of the goals for 2019, is what does that look like, setting up local chapters? I'd love to see that happen and let it grow organically that way. I've had some people approach me with really terrific ideas how they want to do that. And making really taking off the society piece and making it truly a community where people can come together and enjoy it in a group instead of alone.
And do y'all do, like, are people able to sign up to a newsletter or what is kind of that interaction like right now?
Yeah, currently it is all being done through, they can sign up on the website and we post, there's a map there, Lunters of the World, and you can see where other Lunters are. And then we can connect them if they're in a local area and they say, hey, I see four other guys are in my same town. I will contact them privately because I don't share their contact information without their permission, and then let them connect with each other. And that's happened quite a bit.
Now, do y'all do events? You know, I know that, you know, there's been some kind of discussion about some upcoming events, that sort of thing. But have y'all in this last past year done any kind of big events?
We have done small local events here because it's easy to manage. We are looking to do a kind of pipe pilgrimage event next year, early in the first quarter of the year. And that's under works right now. I can't really release more information until we confirm, but once we do, it'll be pretty exciting, I think. There'll be a lot of people behind it. And one of the things, believe it or not, it is a, we did set it up as a nonprofit. And so last year, the money that was raised through selling things like t-shirts and patches was donated to the ALS Foundation.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And that was one of the members said, hey, you know, I've got my father or relative. I don't remember the relative had ALS. And so we donated at the end of the year to that. And next year it's going to be to the Alzheimer's Foundation. So that's our goal. So we're going to do an event. And hopefully if we do get the chapters going, we can have more events that way.
That's good, man. Look, it sounds like y'all are doing some great work, you know, not just, you know, putting forth this capital and kind of helping raise funds for some great organizations and great causes, but also just even in the simplest practice of getting people out there, getting a little bit of exercise in while you're also enjoying your pipe. You know, we're exactly. Here at the new year, at the end of a year, at the beginning of a new year, people have their New Year's resolutions ahead of them. And, you know, I think it's safe to say that for a good majority of us, it's going to involve getting some additional exercise. And since all of us enjoy our pipe, why not, if it helps you kind of get out there a little bit more, why not smoke your pipe while you're going for a walk? Or why not treat yourself to your pipe, if you will, while you're kind of going for a hike or a walk, be it in the city, in the woods, or whatever you have available to you. I know here in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, John David and I, we live in the same neighborhood, and it's an old neighborhood, and it's beautiful. Got all these old houses and a lot of old trees, and it's a nice place to kind of go around, especially with the dog and Lunt, if you will. So I'm thinking, man, this 2019 could be the year of the Lunting. The Lunting year?
The year of the Lunt. I like that. That's good. Maybe that needs to be a shirt, right?
I like it. Well, Scott, thanks so much for coming on and educating folks. How can people follow you specifically?
Sure. They can actually go to the website, which is simply just lunting.org, and they can sign up there. We have different levels that they can do it, and there's a free level called an Explorer level. We have a Lunter level, and then we also have a Trailblazer level. On Instagram and Twitter, we're just simply at the Lunting Society. I'm sorry, at Lunting Society. No the. And I would also put out there to all your listeners, we have Lunters on every single continent but Antarctica. So if anyone out there knows somebody on Antarctica, let us know. That way we can get everybody, every continent covered.
That sounds great, man. And hey, of course, a great thing people can do while they're lunting is listen to Country Squire Radio. Out of curiosity, I know you've been with us for some time. When did you first find the podcast?
It was in your at the very end of your first year. I found it. Brian Levine, we were talking one day, and he recommended it, and that's how I found you guys.
Now, Brian, who now? Brian.
that's that guy.
Oh, no, man. We had a blast with Brian last week on our Christmas episode, and man, we love him. We love all y'all that tuning in, man. And man, thank you so much for joining us on this, the quintessential, the penultimate. No, I mean, I guess it's the ultimate, the final episode of 2018.
Well, it's certainly an honor, and you guys are really a true blessing to the whole culture and community of pipe smoking. As you know from the feedback you get, it just brings everybody together once a week, and it makes us all feel like we're part of something much bigger. So it's great. We appreciate you guys.
I appreciate y'all as well. All right. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, and Merry Christmas.
Man, isn't Scott a great guy?
Yeah, gosh, I just love him to pieces. He's, of course, such a good friend of the show, but also a pillar in the pipe community in his own right. And Lunting is such a important part of so many folks, you know, pipe ritual. And Scott has really just put together a nice community that supports it and promotes it and provides for it. And we are so thankful for him.
Excited to see what things are coming for the Lunting Society in the years to come, as I'm excited to see a lot of things in the year to come.
Yeah.
Like the good quality pipes that come out of Missouri Meerschaum.
No, that's right. Of course, if you want a perfect Lunting pipe, a Missouri Meerschaum pipe is the pipe for you. They're lightweight, incredibly durable, but inexpensive. So if you're Lunting and happen to fall into that giant hole, or you know, off the cliff with the Wile E. Coyote, you know, you won't have to worry about your pipe quite as much. But chances are, because it's a Missouri Meerschaum, it's going to make it to the very end. And so excellent quality pipes. So many of them have generous size bowls, even for their weight. And so you'll be able to put a nice big patch of tobacco in that bowl to really enjoy a nice long stroll. And you can find all their great pipes at corncobpipe.com, the home of Missouri Meerschaum, and online. And just a lot of great pieces there to look at.
And you know what? Let's kick it up a notch. You know, this week, why don't you go out, enjoy some Lunting on your own, be it your neighborhood, your local hiking trails, or even just downtown. Go take a picture of yourself using your Missouri Meerschaum pipe, smoking that. Use the hashtag Lunting and tweet that directly into us. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we got a great pipe question of the week coming in from Brian D. He says, I smoke my pipe too fast. I've tried to get better at this, but I just don't. As a result, my bowl becomes a burning hot brand in my hand that is only tolerable in the coldest days of winter, and even then, it's fairly unmanageable. Is there such a thing as a pipe sleeve or koozie for those of us that heat up our pipe too much? Or more likely, what pipes are better for handling in the heat of the bowl? Thanks in advance. Love the show. Again, that is from Brian D.
Do we need a pipe koozie? Is that a thing we need to develop?
You know, I don't think...
We talk about t-shirts and patches. Is it time for the pipe koozie?
Look, we're pipe smokers. We like pipe accessories, right? Like, this should be a thing, maybe.
Whether
right?
we have to have them or not, we need them. Yeah. No, you know, there's nothing like that I've heard of. That, you know, interestingly enough, in the past, there have been... like leather-wrapped pipes, you know, that you'll find
That's
occasionally.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, generally, I'll be honest, Brian, it's one of those things, if your pipe is getting that hot, either one, it's a really crummy piece of briar, and so that pipe just might need to be retired or put on the shelf as decoration or something. But, you know, two, and typically this is the case, you're just smoking it a little too fast. And that tends to be the issue most off when that happens. So, you know, if the pipe is too hot for your tongue or too hot for your hand, it's time to slow your cadence down as you're puffing. And so you'll take, you know, your tobacco, you're going to puff fast to get it lit. But once you get a nice, good rolling smoke, it's time to slow that cadence down, slow your rhythm down. Again, it's that dance we talk about, puffing it quickly enough to keep it lit, but slowly enough to where you're not burning your tongue or making the pipe heat up too much. So if that still doesn't help enough, you know, a lot of folks that, you know, are trying to escape the hand discomfort will get a very large bowl pipe. So something that, you know, the chamber itself doesn't have to be large, but the meat, if you will, on the sides, the cheeks of the pipe itself, that, you know, really nice thick briar walls there, that might be of help to you. But again, I think the key here is going to be, for the most part, just slowing your rhythm down, and that'll help. So, you know, when you do that too, one thing that you'll start to appreciate, yeah, you won't get the real thick plumes of smoke that, you know, folks, you know, crave and chase after. But what you will get is a smoke that is going to be more flavorful. Instead of just experiencing the heat, when it burns at the cooler temperature, you'll start to get more flavor. And I think you'll be rewarded by that. So try that out.
It's a great question, Brian D. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week to send to us, please do so. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quickfire with the Squire.
Quickfire questions!
Ow!
All right, man. Quickfire questions here from Jason Naff. Jason's been with us for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, man.
Ready for this one?
Yep.
Whiskey with a pipe or wine with a pipe?
Yeah, you know, typically whiskey, but honestly, on average, I probably drink more wine than I do whiskey.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's kind of, over the past 2 years, it's really kind of become a thing. Yeah, I drink probably more wine, but when I'm smoking a pipe, I prefer the brown water.
Okay, all right. So you're saying you drink more wine than whiskey, but when it comes to the pipe, you're still more whiskey than wine.
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. I thought, man, I misinterpreted that.
You got it right in the end.
All right, cool. All right, so next up, infused cigars or all natural?
All natural. I like just the cigar that has the flavor of just a really nice solid tobacco, whether it be a Sumatra wrapper or a Corojo or a real rich Maduro, something like that. I just want to taste the leaf.
That's good. What I hate to ask.
Yeah, it's an infused. You know, we're thinking a sweet cigar, something that's got.
So it's like flavored.
Yeah, it's a flavored cigar. Yeah.
Is it a similar process as like casing pipe tobacco?
No, that's right.
So why wouldn't you say cased? Is infused for cigars but cased for pipe tobacco? But it's the same process. Or?
I don't think it's the same. Some companies actually use weird, like the Drew Estate stuff. I don't know exactly how they do it, but there's so many other cigars actually has like an incense infusion to it. It's almost like you're walking around inside the Whole Foods or something.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so I really like. I don't want to be judged here, but like I really do kind of like
a sweet cigar. Smoke a sweet cigar,
dude. There's a cognac cigar that you can get from the tobacco shop down in New Orleans, down in the French Quarter, and it is amazing. They've got a lot of great cigars there. The Cigar Factory, rather, that's down there. We did a shop talk with them.
Yeah.
eons ago.
Yeah, good guys down there.
Great folks, great quality cigars, and they do have one that is that their cognac that typically is my go to. Like I always go there and I look at like the higher end stuff, or they do have one called the Big Easy, which is kind of like the light and the dark wrapped together, which is always good, and I always pick that one up. But then I also like pick up two or three of the cognacs, and I generally smoke those first. I like them, man. It's good. Crumble cake or flake?
Flake.
Yeah.
Flake. I love a flake tobacco. Doggone it.
Going to flake out with you right there?
Yep.
Pipe bag or pockets? Pipe bag or pockets?
Pipe bag, I guess. Yeah. If I'm going to tote my pipe stuff around, do I want it in my pipe carrying case or do I want it just on my person? I need my little case.
That's right. Okay, yeah, I'm with you as well. I'm assuming like pockets means like the sock type situation.
I think he's talking about his actual pockets.
Oh, you mean just like straight up put it in your pocket?
Yeah. Just put your pipe in your pocket.
No, the only time that I do that is with fly fishing, and it's the pocket. I have a specific pocket on my vest that is dedicated for my pipe, and like it's layered.
Oh,
so,
no, that's right. You've told me about that.
Yeah, I think I even mentioned this last time I went fishing, but or fly fishing rather. I made the mistake of getting down too deep into the water, and that that pocket is my lowest, or has been my lowest pocket on my vest, and so I ended up saturating both my tobacco and my pipe in lake water, and made it completely useless for the entire trip. And so that was a huge mistake. So I actually need to reallocate for the next stuff.
Probably so. Yeah, that sounds right.
But beyond that, no, pipe bag all the way. And there you go. Quick fire questions from Jason.
Yes, we're good. Jason, man, dear friend. Gosh, I've probably gotten to know Jason, I don't know, really well over the past 3 years. Really, really enjoyed getting to know him.
Absolutely. And hey, if you got a quick fire question for us, be sure to send that in show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback. The final listener feedback of 2018, which is kind of weird because we're recording this in 2018, but I think it actually goes out on like the first day of the new year.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's all messed up. All right. Listener feedback this week coming in from Mike McBee. This is an iTunes review he wrote for us. It says, great podcast. I enjoy this podcast every week. The Squire Select episodes are by far my favorite, and I am patiently waiting on that barbecue episode. Well, Mike, you and me both, brother.
That makes two of y'all.
This one, man. Okay, I'm so excited for this review. This is by far my favorite. Please proceed.
All right, from a Trout Whisperer on iTunes, he says, please bear with me. The spill chicken on my confuser is broken.
The spell check on his computer is broken.
The old spill chicken on my confuser is broken.
Here it comes.
I recently discovered the Country Shire Radiation podcast, and I'm catching up on all the old epiphanies. Joe and Ron Davis are are easygoing, and there is a natural chemical between them.
There sure is.
It is obvious that they are closed friends. Anyone interested in pie smacking will enjoin hearing. I can't get through this. Is anyone interested in pie smacking will enjoin hearing them discuss pie ship, beverage earnings, pie smacking culture, and the like. I hope one day to visit the county shire ship in Jack Squat, Mississippi. it is like Jack Squat, Mississippi.
There's a lot of truth in this review.
So I can talk with the staff while sampling their blends, such as Angry Cornish Hen, Chimpanzee, and Seasickness. Thank you for producing a quality shoe. And I wish you both all the best.
Wow.
I wish us all the best, too.
Man, so do I. Man, like, my favorite by far in all of this amazingness. And I mean, I laughed throughout. The first time I saw it, I literally fell out. But the County Shire, honestly, if the Country Squire had to rebrand, the County Shire is not bad.
No, that's not bad. I just really appreciate, though, these new blend names that will debut at some point in our future. Angry Cornish Hen.
Yes.
Chimpanzee, which I don't know what, I guess that's like Cherokee,
I would imagine.
And then Seasickness.
With Seersucker, I would imagine.
Maybe so.
Dude, this needs to be an April Fool's. Like, there needs to be April Fool's blends.
Angry Cornish Hen, a Chimpanzee, and Seasickness, all from your favorite pie shop in Jack Squat, Mississippi.
Wow.
That was good. If you're on iTunes, go check that review out. It was fantastic.
Yeah, the Trout Whisperer definitely won iTunes reviews, like all iTunes reviews for the history of thereof. It was incredible. Well, normally I'd just say at that point, you know, nobody needs to send any more reviews in. We've reached the pinnacle.
But we do want your
But review. We do need those reviews. So head over to iTunes and write us a review. It's a great way to help out the show. We love that feedback, and it really does kind of fuel us up. And as we go into the next year, man, we need that fuel. So head over there and do it, please. Also, you can tune into the show. We'll be back next week live at CountrySquireRadio.com at noon. You can tune in there. Again, that's CountrySquireRadio.com. You can keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the Country Squire Radio podcast handle is @SquireRadio. But again, all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where last plug, this is the last chance to get it in. Head over there and get your votes in. If you want to make sure your voice is heard for the best of 2018, this is your last chance to do it. So head over there. It's going to be a fun show next week, man. I almost feel like we should wear like tuxedos and, you know, that whole deal. Let's not do that.
Do like the MC kind of thing.
Did you keep your tux from your wedding?
Yeah.
You did?
Well, not that one. I have a tux.
Wait, not that wedding? Wait, hang on. No.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, boy, I'm going to be in bad trouble now. No, I have a tuxedo. I did not keep the one specifically from my wedding, but yeah. I do have a tuxedo.
Okay, all right. Maybe if I can find like a tuxedo cutoff, you know, one of those things?
Yeah, a tuxedo shirt.
We should get tuxedo shirts.
Yeah. No,
oh,
that'd
my
be
gosh.
Good.
That might be a thing. It'll be fun. 2018, best of 2018 next week. Until then, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Let's go have a year.
And that too.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.